Model Test 6
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Question 11 Don't you find standing 10 hours a day as a sales promoter is hard on your feet? I'm sure I wouldn't want this kind of job.
Well, I was reluctant at first, but the pay is decent.
What does the woman imply? Question 12. I feel horrible. Daisy was furious that I lost her notes. Do you think I should apologize again?
If I were you, I'd let her cool off a few days before I approach her.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Question 13. Did you hear what George did last night? He was cooking dinner for the members of the drama club, and he spilled the tomato sauce all over the kitchen.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. He did the same thing last semester, only with a Spanish club and chocolate cream.
What do we learn about George from the conversation?
Question 14. I'm having a hard time keeping up in my biology class. I'm seriously considering hiring a tutor.
A word of advice. Don't make a mistake I made last semester and wait until after the midterm exam to do it.
What does the woman mean?
Question 15. Have you guys decided whether you are going to get an apartment off campus next year or to stay in the dorm?
We are still talking about the pros and cons. I don't know. To me, it seems like six of one and half a dozen of the other.
What does the man mean? Question 16. I can't believe I can't get a plane ticket for the December holidays. I mean, it's only October.
Well, you know, I wouldn't worry about it too much. People cancel their reservations sometimes.
What does the man imply the woman should do?
Question 17. Excuse me, Professor Jones? I was absent from the first class, and I heard that's when you handed out the course outline. Would you have an extra copy?
I don't have anyone with me. There are a few left in my office. Why don't you stop by after class?
What does Professor Jones mean?
Question 18. This is the second time this month that my boss has asked me to work extra hours. I'm glad to get a bigger paycheck, But I just don't want him to give me such a heavy schedule.
Better watch your step. A lot of people would like to trade places with you.
What does the man imply the woman should do? Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1. Hi, Kaven. Your roommate told me that I could find you in the TV lounge. What are you doing here?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Well, it looks like you're watching television, but we have a linear algebra midterm tomorrow, so I thought you'd be studying for it. And maybe I can study with you.
Oh, well, I was just taking a break. This linear algebra stuff gives me a headache if I work on it too long.
I know what you mean. I've been working on it for 3 hours already. I'm beginning to get cross. I've been guessing at the sample problems. I just don't get some of them.
But I can't believe you are coming to me. I mean, you do know what I got on the last test, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You told me. I just thought two heads might be better than one.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. But, you know, I wish I knew that person in our class who got 100 on the last test. She didn't miss a question. Was it Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. She is a friend of mine. She'd be a big help right now. Why don't I give her a call?
What? At this hour? It's already 10:30. I don't want to impose on her.
Yeah, I guess you are right. But you know what? She owes me a big favor. Let's at least give her a call and see what she says. Maybe going over some of the problems with us would help her review the material.
It's worth a try. Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Question 20. Why is the man surprised that the woman wants to study linear algebra with him? Question 21. Why doesn't the man want to call Elizabeth? Conversation 2.
So, you really believe that clothes carry a kind of message for other people, and that what we put on is in some way a reflection of what we feel?
Oh yes, very much so. People are beginning now to take seriously the idea of a kind of psychology of clothing, to believe that there is not just individual taste in our clothes, but also a thinking behind what we wear, which is trying to express something we may not even be aware of ourselves.
But surely this has always been the case. We all dress up when we want to impress someone, such as for a job interview with a prospective employer.
True, but that's a conscious act. What I'm talking about is more of a subconscious thing. Take, for example, the student who's away from home. If he tends to wrap himself up more than the others, this is because he is probably feeling homesick. Similarly, a general feeling of insecurity can sometimes take the form of overdressing in warmer clothes than are necessary.
Can you give any other examples of this kind?
Yes. I think people who are sociable and outgoing tend to prefer brighter, or more dazzling colors, yellows, bright reds, and so on. And aggressive clothes might indicate an aggressive personality or attitude to life.
Do you think the care, or lack of it, over the way we actually wear our clothes has anything to tell us?
Yes, indeed. The length, for example, of a man's trousers speaks volumes about his awareness of his own image. Or, if his trousers are hanging down, this probably means he's absorbed by other things.
Oh, very interesting. Tell me more about it.
Okay.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What are people now beginning to take seriously about clothing, according to the man? Question 23. What does the man think of the act of dressing up for a job interview? Question 24. What does it probably reflect if a student tends to wrap himself up more than the others? Question 25. What sort of clothes do those people who are sociable and outgoing often prefer? Section B.
Passage 1. Exporters are going to have to change if they hope to penetrate the large European markets. The European Union has launched a two-sided attack on packaging waste. It wants both to decrease sharply the amount of packaging waste that is generated and to increase the level of recycling necessary packaging. To accomplish these objectives, two key targets have been established. First, by 1998, 60% of package waste by weight has to be recoverable for recycling or other uses, and by 2003, the percentage to reach 90%. The second target requires that more than 10% by weight of the waste remains to be disposed of, e.g., in landfills. The individual EU countries are free to determine on their own by what methods they want to achieve these targets and how they will finance these necessary waste recovery infrastructures. Most countries will place the largest part of burden on those manufacturing, using, or selling packaging. Marketers have been encouraged to adopt the four environmentally correct redesign, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Germany, which has been the front-runner in issue, requires producers, importers, distributors, wholesalers, and retailers to take packaging from their customers to use or recycling independently of the public waste disposal system. These criteria will directly affect U.S. and other exporters seeking markets in Europe. If packaging of exports does not meet the EU requirements, products may be denied entry. Exporters to the EU will seek out distributors with experience in dealing with waste management requirements. While the system is a burden, it offers some benefits. Cutting down on packaging can save on materials and shipping cost.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is the viewpoint of the speaker in the beginning? Question 27. According to the speaker, how will exporters to the EU be affected? Question 28. Why does the speaker believe the system may also be beneficial to exporters? Passage 2. The world's smartest adolescents in mathematics and science are in Singapore, according to a global survey of educational achievement. In the third International Mathematics and Science Study, 13-year-olds from Singapore achieved the best scores in standardized tests of maths and science that were administered to 287,896 students in 41 countries in 1994 and 1995. The survey suggests that science and math education is especially strong in the Far East, while well behind those top scores, students from Australia earned higher marks in math than their counterparts in England, who in turn did better than American students. The study collected information on the students' teachers and homes. Not surprisingly, the highest scoring students had well-educated parents or came from homes containing studying aids, such as computers, dictionaries, or even such elemental facilities as desks. The study shows that boys generally did better than girls in science, but there was little difference between them in math. Boys scored better than girls in physics and chemistry. There were no sex differences in the life and environmental sciences. In addition to being tested, students in the project were asked how proficient they thought they were in maths and science. Students in some countries, such as Colombia and Kuwait, had an overly optimistic view of their skills. Meanwhile, some of the best students from Japan and Korea, for example, were needlessly pessimistic, even though they did far better in math than almost all of the other students.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. Of the four groups of students, who scored the lowest in math according to the survey? Question 30. What kind of students are most likely to become top scorers? Question 31. In what way do Colombian students differ from Japanese students? Question 32. In which subject did boys score higher than girls? Passage 3. Some of the most practical lessons coming out of research in psychology are in the area of memory. People ask, why can't I remember that term from the physics chapter or that the library books are due? For many people, memory may be weak because they don't use it enough. It's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it won't get strong. That's why it's important to keep our mind active, to keep on learning throughout our life. We can do this by reading, playing memory games, and seeking out new experiences. It's my guess, though, that the lack of stimulation isn't a problem for students like you. More likely, the lives you live are so busy and stimulating that this in itself may sometimes interfere with learning. Later on, I will discuss how information is recalled from memory. But first, the information needs to be recorded, in other words, learned. And for busy people like you and me, that is where the real problem often lies. If we are distracted, or we are trying to think what we are going to do next, the incoming message just might not be getting recorded effectively. And that leads to the first tip for students who want to improve their memories. Give your full attention to the information you hope to retain. Research clearly shows the advantages of this, and also of active learning, of consciously trying to visualize a new fact, perhaps to make a mental picture, even a wild, ridiculous one, so the new fact will stick in our memory. Let me illustrate that for you here a little more concretely this evening.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What's the talk mainly about? Question 34. What does the speaker illustrate with the example of our muscle? Question 35. What does the speaker suggest students do to learn new information more effectively? Section C. Now listen to the passage.
With the start of BBC World Service Television, millions of viewers in Asia and America can now watch the corporation's news coverage. And of course, in Britain, listeners and viewers can tune in to 2 BBC television channels, 5 BBC national radio services, and dozens of local radio stations. They are brought sport, comedy, drama, music, news, and current affairs, education, religion, parliamentary coverage, children's programs, and films for an annual license fee of £83 per household. It is a remarkable record, stretching back over 70 years, yet the BBC's future is now in doubt. The corporation will survive as a publicly funded broadcasting organization, at least for the time being, but its role, its size, and its programs are now the subject of a nationwide debate in Britain. The debate was launched by the government, which invited anyone with an opinion of the BBC, including ordinary listeners and viewers, to say what was good or bad about the corporation. The reason for its inquiry is that the BBC's Royal Charter runs out, and it must decide whether to keep the organization as it is, or to make changes. Defenders of the corporation, of whom there are many, are fond of quoting the American slogan, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it." The BBC ain't broke, they say. by which they mean it is not broken, so why bother to change it? Yet the BBC will have to change sooner or later, because the broadcasting world around it is changing. The commercial TV channels were required by the Thatcher government's Broadcasting Act to become more commercial, competing with each other for advertisers and cutting costs and jobs. But it is the arrival of new satellite channels which will bring about the biggest changes in the long term.
Now the passage will be read again. With the start of BBC World Service Television, millions of viewers in Asia and America can now watch the corporation's news coverage. And of course, in Britain, listeners and viewers can tune in to 2 BBC television channels, 5 BBC national radio services, and dozens of local radio stations. They are brought sport, comedy, drama, music, news and current affairs, education, religion, parliamentary coverage, children's programs, and films for an annual license fee of £83 per household. It is a remarkable record stretching back over 70 years, yet the BBC's future is now in doubt. The corporation will survive as a publicly funded broadcasting organisation, at least for the time being, but its role, its size, and its programmes are now the subject of a nationwide debate in Britain. The debate was launched by the government, which invited anyone with an opinion of the BBC, including ordinary listeners and viewers, to say what was good or bad about the corporation. The reason for its inquiry is that the BBC's Royal Charter runs out, and it must decide whether to keep the organisation as it is or to make changes. Defenders of the corporation, of whom there are many, are fond of quoting the American slogan, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it." The BBC ain't broke, they say, by which they mean it is not broken, so why bother to change it? Yet the BBC will have to change sooner or later, because the broadcasting world around it is changing. The commercial TV channels were required by the Thatcher government's Broadcasting Act to become more commercial, competing with each other for advertisers and cutting costs and jobs. But it is the arrival of new satellite channels which will bring about the biggest changes in the long term.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. With the start of BBC World Service Television, millions of viewers in Asia and America can now watch the corporation's news coverage. And of course, in Britain, listeners and viewers can tune in to 2 BBC television channels, 5 BBC national radio services, and dozens of local radio stations. They are brought sports, comedy, drama, music, news, and current affairs, education, religion, parliamentary coverage, children's programs, and films for an annual license fee of £83 per household. It is a remarkable record, stretching back over 70 years, yet the BBC's future is now in doubt. The corporation will survive as a publicly funded broadcasting organization, at least for the time being, but its role, its size, and its programs are now the subject of a nationwide debate in Britain. The debate was launched by the government, which invited anyone with an opinion of the BBC, including ordinary listeners and viewers, to say what was good or bad about the corporation. The reason for its inquiry is that the BBC's royal charter runs out, and it must decide whether to keep the organization as it is or to make changes. Defenders of the corporation, of whom there are many, are fond of quoting the American slogan, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it." The BBC ain't broke, they say, by which they mean it is not broken, so why bother to change it? Yet the BBC will have to change sooner or later, because the broadcasting world around it is changing. The commercial TV channels were required by the Thatcher government's Broadcasting Act to become more commercial, competing with each other for advertisers and cutting costs and jobs. But it is the arrival of new satellite channels which will bring about the biggest changes in the long term. Thank you.